I was trying to take a picture on the low, but I couldn't.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, wow.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is... Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Start the show.
Yes, sir. Christmas edition.
Get it.
Oh, yeah. People stealing our music across the country.
Hey, listen. Imitation is a serious form of flattery.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is. Of course, America, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man, our little post-holiday edition of this. As always, want to welcome you guys to another fantastic edition of the show. Like I said, I feel like I've been traveling a lot, man, but, you know, we had to check up on some San Fran stuff for the Bay. Got a lot of things to tell you about, fellas, man. It's really interesting to hear that what's been happening on that side of the world, man. But anyway, let's get started here. This is a gentleman who I would not trade for anyone right now. We'll talk about some trades and everything like that, but let's kick it off with my boys, starting off with that JQ. How are you for this evening, sir?
Ah, man, I can't complain. I'm sitting here in Cincinnati with my people. It is cold in the mofo outside, so generally 11 degrees outside, but, you know, I'm sitting here having a little crown apple and cranberry and ready to talk some sports while I watch Arizona Purdue in the background. Let's go.
Man, Purdue is putting the whipping on Arizona too, man. That's just not even right. But
they are.
Anyway, we'll talk about
they
that.
They opening up a can on them.
Yeah, they are, man. Little Bobby Boucher happening, man. Who dare? But all right, let's check in with my boys. Speaking of who dat who dare, kind of a good transition right to Rob Ford. What's up, Rob?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on, fellas? Let's make it do what it do. I'm in Austin, not as cold as Cincinnati. It's hovering right about 40 degrees, but it's cold all across the country right now.
I would.
But that sounds like a heat wave to you right now, JQ.
Yes, sir. I would lie to you still for 40 degrees right now.
Wow.
We got you covered from Austin to Atlanta to Cincinnati tonight, people.
There you go.
Yes, we do. And like I said, too, it's kind of crazy, literally. I think it's colder in Atlanta than it is in San Francisco. But obviously, JQ, you win, bro. You win hands down, bro. So, again, you said, like, negative.
Well, you know that's not true.
Like that.
Everybody knows the book that Mark Twain wrote, right? The coldest winter I ever experienced was a summer in San Francisco.
Rob is
Look at him dropping that Mark Twain on people. Nazi.
Yes, he is.
Oh, yeah. You got to drop the knowledge.
Yeah, all right, man, I'm with you. Go ahead.
Yeah, ready to get this started? No, it's all good. You know, obviously, today's 27th, and I guess right off the bat, I'm going to throw out some numbers here, and I guess we got a caller. I'm going to grab him in a quick second here. The number to call the show is always 424-243-9519. Always follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, all that good jazz. Let's grab this quick call, and again, I got to have a quick trigger, so, you know, we'll see how this plays out. I don't know if this is Lou from New Jersey, but anyway, we'll get him in. All right, Colin, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. How you doing this evening?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it is that guy from Jersey, yes.
Hey, what's going
on? Oh, hey, Lou, how are you? Welcome back.
Thanks.
Did we get it right?
I had some extra time, so I thought I'd get a shot.
Hey, yeah, there you go,
sir.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. Though I'm not happy with my Knicks right now. What is going on? It's now their third loss in a row. They lose to a sub-500 team. I'm like, what's going on? I know Porzingis has been hurt a little bit, but not as severe as last year. But I think that's bothering the team. You know, maybe he's not fully healed as we think he is.
It's hard to play in New York. We talk about it on the show. You got to be built a certain way to play in New York. You got to be built a certain way, and it's hard. But you also we depended on Michael Beasley and Tim Hardaway Jr. and Hardaway been hurt with the stress reaction in his leg. So yeah, you're gonna have some ups and downs with that team. I think you had to anticipate that. But in the Eastern Conference, you can still sneak in. So I mean, what do you measure as a good season for the Knicks? What's your measurement for a good season?
My measuring is, you know, to get over 500, I think maybe we can make, if we're lucky, maybe the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference.
Okay, that's what's up. Hey, that's a legitimate, you know, objective look at it. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, the Knicks was in that game. They were in control of that game tonight for most of the ball game. It kind of fell apart toward the end of the game in Chicago. And Chicago, surprisingly, has been playing very well of late. I mean, they've still got a 12-22 mm-hmm. record, but they're 8-2 in their last 10 games. So they've been playing some pretty good basketball here of late. The Bulls mm-hmm. are starting to put it together. And I know the Knicks are right at 500 right now, so they're still hovering right
they're
around that playoff mark. Yeah, okay. All right. I thought it was 17-17 with the loss tonight. And so they're right at about the number 9 seed in the East. So they're right hovering around at right at getting in the playoff spot. So we'll see. I know the game on Christmas against Philly was a tough loss. So Philly got Joel Embiid back and Tim McConnell and Ben Simmons kind of went off in that game as well. But give it some time there. Like I said, they went on the road against a team that had been playing well lately in the Bulls. And so we'll see if they can recover. And, of course, going to Philly on the road, when Philly is healthy, they're definitely a dangerous team this year.
Yeah, I mean, at least Simmons, you know, is bouncing back from his, you know, miserable, you know, season when he couldn't even play. So we got to give him credit on that.
Right. Absolutely.
I don't want to, but I will.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, no, we talked about it before. That Philadelphia team is really nice. And we talk about the other teams around in the NBA. They're building a very nice young structure that's going to, I believe, attract a free agent if they really take an objective look at it. Like, you know what? You know, we talk about the Lakers. I'm a Laker fan. We talk about LeBron to L.A. and then all going to Houston, making a super team. Real quiet, like you can play in the East and still have an easier path to the playoffs. And that Philadelphia team has some really nice young foundation pieces. So, I mean, I think some free agents are going to look at that and say, you know what? Philadelphia is not really a bad destination right now. I mean, you got to, you know, hashtag trust the process, and it's worked out for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what everybody in Philadelphia is saying right now, trust the process. That's interesting.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Andre, give us your famous Billy Knight quote.
The process is ongoing. Oh, that joker. Please don't bring up any memory. Lou, what else you got to have to that, bro? What else do you want to add to the conversation, sir?
Well, okay, we'll get from the bad news. To get the good news, the Rangers actually won tonight. So at least that was good news to me.
There you go.
It was an ugly victory, but we still won.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. What made you choose between the Rangers and the Islanders? Because I'm always fascinated with teams, cities that have multiple teams.
I've always hated the Islanders. I've always couldn't stand them, even during the Stanley Cup run. Ugh.
Wow. What about the Devils?
Yeah.
Devils, I'll go with the Devils. Of course, that's more for my significant other's type. But I've been a Ranger fan since I was like 8 years old. So
there it is. You know, I've always wondered, you know, with people that are from like in New York or LA, where you have multiple teams, like how do you choose between the Rangers and the Islanders or the Giants and the Jets? And I know it's easy to say with the Giants and the Super Bowls, but you know what I mean. Like when you have options. It's always intriguing to me to figure out how people, you know, was it your dad, was it your mom, your grandpa, how you chose, you know, one New York team over another New York team, because it's been my observation
that. Well,
funny
you mention that because
the other ones.
Some of us are on opposite sides. Like most of my on my dad's side, it's mostly Yankee fans, but on my mother's side, it was Brooklyn Dodgers, and then the Brooklyn Dodgers moved, and they became Mets fans. Oh well.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Mother's side. It's pretty much even football for the. My mother's side is Giants. My father's side is Jets, except for my brother who is a Bears fan. Sweetness.
Okay. That's what's
basketball.
Up.
It's basketball. No comment much because only my brother and I follow that, and I'm the only one who follows hockey in the family. So anything else like. Mm-hmm. They probably think, you follow hockey? Are you nuts?
So, Luke,
I found that most people in New Jersey are Giants fans, and most New Yorkers are Jets fans, too. That's one thing I found from being in that part of the country. I'm sure there's some split, but I hear most people from New Jersey are more Giants fans than most New Yorkers are Jets fans. Or is that still true? Still a case?
Yeah, but they're playing in the same
place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even though they're playing in the same place, is that still true?
Yeah, you know, but you know the weird thing is that I remember the last game the Jets played at Shea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I was only 11.
You're telling your age now. Be careful.
Wow.
Only 11.
We're saying you're telling your age right now because that was a minute ago. Yeah, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You want that in human years or dog years?
Whatever. I love it. Hey, Lou, so we're going to wrap this up. But I'm going to ask you a really quick question here before we wrap this up. Just kind of getting back to the Knicks here, and I know, like, you know, Porzingis and stuff like that, we've had some interesting – are you okay with the draft pick with Mr. Frank here? I mean, you think he's kind of like the next guy? Are you kind of like, how do you feel about the future, like I said? Okay. That's how you feel?
Do you wish they would have put Dennis Smith from NC State?
Yeah.
Rookies need time to adjust. I mean, you know, nobody's expecting, a miracle season this year. So he's just time to adjust. But I think he's doing just fine.
Okay.
I also want to mention, because if I do remember correctly, I also think I remember who called the last game at Shea with the Jets.
Oh, wow.
And, I believe it is so, unless I'm mistaken, because their voices are kind of similar. It was either Don Crickey or the one who we just lost a few days ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Dick Enberg, yeah.
Dick Enberg.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Don Crickey, he was
one of my idols.
He was one of NBC's major play-by-play guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another one of the great ones I'll never get a chance to meet. Oh, dear.
Yeah. R.I.P. Dick Enberg, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, my last comment about the Knicks, I know your initial conversation, to me they're still better than what a lot of people expected, better than I thought they would be this season as well.
Yeah.
They turned the leaf, but got rid of Carmelo Anthony. They gave the rings to Porzingis and said, you're going to be our number one guy. I still thought there was going to be a big adjustment period with that. But they're still, in my opinion, ahead of schedule if they stay on this 500 path this season. There's still a lot of basketball to be played. But I think if you're a Knicks fan, you have to be, for the most part, pleased. At the direction that they're going, finally, and even Courtney Lee has been a big surprise this season. He's been playing some really good basketball for them this year too.
Yeah,
I hope they can re-sign Porzingis. That's gonna be interesting, especially when his brother got off and started popping off. Considering his brother's his agent, I believe. So that's one thing I wish the NBA had was a franchise tag, so that you can keep some of that talent when you draft them and not just lose them for anything. But that's gonna be interesting. But I think Christmas is. I think he's built to play in that New York market. I do. To your point, Lou, just to give him some time, let them mesh together. But I hope they are able to mend that fence for the New York market. I mean, that's the mecca to keep him there and keep the Knicks relevant.
Yeah, because that is a tough place to play, though. If you're doing well, they'll love you. If you're not doing well, oh, boy, they're going to razz you to death.
Oh, yeah.
That's fair.
Oh, yeah.
And you may not make it to see tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Well, Lou, wrap up your last thoughts, man, and we'll. I don't know if you want to listen in or put on hold or whatever you want to do, man. But go ahead and wrap up your last thoughts, and we definitely appreciate you always calling in and checking in for sure, sir.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we
also
have bowl season coming up, and and the big bowl games are going to start on Saturday, and of course the semifinals are on Monday, and this is going to be a good tough battle.
Yeah, no, they start on Friday when USC plays
Friday?
Ohio State.
I thought it was Saturday.
I knew JQ. No, I was waiting for JQ to comment on that because I knew his Buckeyes played on Friday night.
He's ready for that.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I was waiting for him to say something.
You know me. The homer in me is always going to show up. It starts on Friday night. I am here in Ohio, so I would definitely be out. Yeah, but no, I hear what you're saying. I'm just being an idiot.
Okay.
But I hear you. I honestly think, if I'm being honest, I think the winner of that Alabama comes to the game wins it all. I do.
Yeah.
All right.
By the way, there's a guy from Florida wants to talk to you.
I agree with that, too.
There's a guy coming up from Florida who wants to get on this. He's a good buddy of mine. We're on constant shows together, and give him a chance. I think he's going to come on in about 2 minutes after I get off. So I'll bid you adieu on that note, and
great.
Talk to you soon if I have time. Thank you so much.
We are going to have some college football predictions. It's probably going to be in our OT portion, so you click on the same link on tomorrow. You'll get
what
our
time?
College football bowl predictions from this show, and send us some feedback on Facebook and Twitter. Let us know what you think about our predictions.
What time,
yes, sir?
On tomorrow, you can click on the same link anytime, but you can hear the OT portion of our show.
Oh, it's not a live show, I guess.
The OT is not live, but more than likely our bowl predictions will fall in our OT portion, which you can click on tomorrow. So definitely take a listen when you get a chance. Let us know what you think about our predictions.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Luke, for spreading the word and calling in, man. We appreciate you.
I had a chance.
Keep checking in. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Absolutely,
Luke. Yep.
All right,
yep.
Read the word in the Big Apple for us.
Love that.
Shout out to Lou.
All right. Hold on. Call back in. I just lost. I think that was Big Mike calling in. JK, he's got like a 954 number, right? Is that Big Mike?
843.
Might have been the gentleman that he was just referring to.
I was trying to grab him and I hung up on him. So anyway, that was me trying to get him in. So tell Lou, tell him I apologize because I was trying to pick him up soon and hang up on Lou. But anyway, please call back in and we'll keep it going as always. Man, that's just me like traveling, so I apologize. Anyway, we'll keep it going here. We got a lot of things to talk about. We still got 30 minutes left in the live portion of the show. And I guess we'll jump into this because we definitely got to get to our bowl predictions. We got to talk about some shout-outs and everything like that. And I guess NBA talking. Really quickly, though, interesting story, guys, in that the most interesting news is that the Steelers literally release James Harrison. And then what would you know, the freaking Patriots pick up this guy. Them jokers are taking selfies, him and Tom Brady. And this kind of, like, shook me, guys, because I'm literally thinking, man, these guys are, like, sworn enemies. They over here, like, acting like they bosom buddies and whatnot. So – is it a mistake? Are they getting some insider details? I mean, because why did they release James Harrison is another question I have, and I know JQ, how you feel about your Steelers here, but is this like a strengthening getting weakened, or what's happening?
Stop it. Well, the point is he wasn't playing, and I saw the ticker come across when he went to James Harrison there saying, I'm not playing. I see you want to let the young guys play. Just release me and let me move on. And they were like, no, we got a role for you. But I think James Harrison talked them into letting him go. Like, I don't want to be here just to be a hood ornament if you're not going to let me play, so to speak. And if you look at it from New England standpoint, they need pass rushers. And, don't get me wrong. Part of that is looking down the road and saying, we feel like we're going to play against Pittsburgh, and he's going to give us all the intel that he's going to give them. Because, a lover scorn, you don't let me play and you let me go. And then, they pick me up and then we're going to play each other. I'm going to tell them everything I can tell them so I can get another Super Bowl ring if you're James Harrison. So it just kind of worked out in the fact that he hasn't been playing for Pittsburgh, and New England actually need help rushing the passer. They have really a no-name defense. They got Tom Brady and all of my offense, but that defense is not a Super Bowl defense. We talked about it in weeks before. So I think it's just weird. You're right, taking pictures together, like if they've been sworn enemies. But it's worked out to where you release somebody they actually had a need for, where you just look at them like, okay, you didn't need another tight end. You got Gronk. Like, come on now. We know what you're doing. You're just trying to get the keys to the kingdom in Pittsburgh. Like, it's like I'm getting the keys to the kingdom in Pittsburgh through the intel and also getting a situational pass rusher that I need, because you can't play James Harrison every snap. But when you get to that point where you can substitute him in the sub packages on second and long and third and long, he can come in and be a boost for the team that doesn't have a whole lot of pass rushing. So I hate it, but it's a good move by New England.
So crazy. You risk it, Richard. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I agree. And I think one thing you got to realize, too, is I don't think there's a smarter coach in the NFL than Bill Belichick. I think if this was any other team signing James Harrison, I don't really think it would have been that big of a deal. But what Bill Belichick is going to do with the intel that he's going to get from James Harrison is going to be so key for them if they match up against each other in the playoffs. He's going to do more with that intel than any other coach in the league would do with that intel. So for me, I think it's still that's the biggest thing with this deal is the information that he's going to gather from James Harrison about what's happening internally with that football team with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that's the biggest piece. Obviously, he only played in 40 snaps all season with the Steelers this year. He only played in 5 games, so he wasn't having a very integral role on the football team. And there's a lot of talk that he's the one that pushed him to release him. And so there's a lot of – obviously, he had to clear waivers in order for New England to pick him up, so any team could have really picked him up. But, you know, there's a lot of talk that James – this is what James Harrison wanted all along. He wasn't getting the playing time in Pittsburgh. He pushed the team. Now, the problem is whenever you go sign with a rival like the Patriots, he can almost wipe his legacy away in Pittsburgh now. It's going to take years, just like it took the Packers years to forgive Brett Favre from going to the Vikings. It's going to take a while before the Steelers forgive him for signing with the Patriots before they honor him with his legacy in Pittsburgh. His legacy is going to be wiped away for a little while here with this signing going to Pittsburgh. And, I mean, but it's his doing. This is what he wanted. But I definitely think it's a good move for the Patriots, and Bill Belichick is going to – I'm telling you, he's going to take that information better than any other coach in his league and use it to his advantage for his football team.
Agreed.
Rich get richer, guys, and you both have completely succinctly wrapped that point up. So, from Corey Dillon back in the day, just getting players. It's crazy. Go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to have a big impact for him on the football field. I think his impact is going to be with the information he's given.
But
you know what?
I
disagree
with
you. Yes, I disagree with you on that. I think he's that's what I said, situationally. You can't roll him out there and play him 90% of the snaps. No, he can't do that anymore. But when you're able to put him out there to just pin his ears back, James Harrison is still a freak of nature when it comes to his strength and speed at his age and his size. He's gonna make a play or two, a big play or two in this postseason. You're gonna be like, man, come on, Pittsburgh, how do you let New England get that guy? And you're gonna say that either out loud or to yourself when you're watching the game. So I still think he's gonna have a role to play in this postseason, but it's not gonna be an every down kind of play. But he's gonna show up in a big spot here and there. You're gonna be like, come on, I can't believe that he's wearing red, white, and blue. I can't believe that. And you're just gonna shake your head the same way. He says to risk it, Richard. I'm telling you, Rob, you're gonna find yourself shaking your head like I can't believe they let that happen. I agree.
And he's gonna come around the corner. I'm telling you, kind of reminds me of Kevin Green, man. You got some players that just seem like Father Time. I mean, they eventually catch him, but you know, just the intelligence, just the will. I mean, that dude's a beast, man. That's crazy. All right, really quickly, let's move on here. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys here. Really big loss to the Seattle Seahawks, and you kind of saw the writing on the wall. And I think this has been a crazy season for the Cowboys. If you're a Cowboys fan, not that we're not too crying for you, but I know as Robert talks about the Cowgirls, you guys lost Ezekiel Elliott for a lot of the season. Obviously had a lot of injuries, which definitely played into a promising rookie start to Dak Prescott. But then obviously that's been challenging. Then you got your boy Dez Bryant over here, guys, just dropping balls.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're talking about you got to adjust your contract. I ain't taking a pay cut. And I'm not sure if it's a concentration thing with Dez or just I don't know, man. But really quickly, can we recap this and what do you guys think about this, Rob, about the Cowboys and kind of how this impacts them for the future, Rob?
Well, obviously, they just didn't seem to be in sync, and obviously the turnovers really killed them here. They got a pick six, a very bad interception by Dak Prescott and the team trying to set up the screen. If you look at Seattle's offensively in this game, they did nothing. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Russell Wilson only had about some 90-something yards passing, which killed me in fantasy, by the way, but, you know, that's another story. they didn't do anything offensively in this football game, and it was really the Cowboys turning over the football was really the big difference in this game. And, of course, when they got to the red zone, Seattle was able to hold them to field goals. So that was a big – that was a big problem for Dallas in this game. They were moving the ball. They couldn't score in the red zone, and the turnovers is what killed them in this football game against Seattle on Sunday. But, you know, from the looks of it, they looked like the better team, but they just couldn't capitalize in the red zone, and they couldn't take care of the football. And that's what cost him in the end. Des Bryant, I forgot. We haven't said that enough on this show, how overrated he is as a receiver. He never seemed to have been in sync with Dak Prescott. And then, of course, with Zeke Elliott's first game back. So I'm sure there was still a little bit of rust there in his first action back. So there was a lot of things that just wasn't in sync for the Cowboys in this particular football game against Seattle. But I think with a few more weeks together, this Cowboy team could have been dangerous. But it's just, of course, just bad timing with the suspension for Zeke Elliott being out for 6 weeks. But I still think going forward for years down the road here, if I'm a Cowboys fan, I think you still stick with Jason Garrett. I don't think it's time to get rid of him. Just my personal opinion. I'm not a Cowboys fan. Everybody knows that. But I wouldn't get rid of Jason Garrett if I was them.
Hold that thought, JQ, because I got to grab this guy on the call. Hold that thought real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Hold that thought. All right. I'm so sorry for hanging up on you, boss. Tell me your name and thank you for calling Talking Sports with 12 Men. How are you?
Hey there. This is Isaac.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey.
Wait a
minute. Oh, you're on.
We hear you.
How are you?
How are you? Thanks for calling Talking Sports with 12 Men.
What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm good. Just listening, you know. I would have to agree, you know. I think Dez is an overrated receiver, you know. I saw last week, you know, he threw a temper tantrum on the sideline, them not throwing him the ball. Then next play, you know.
He got the ball punched out of his
ball.
Hand.
I mean, mm-hmm. Shout out to Byron Maxwell, former Dolphin.
He just fumbled it. The guy
been...
just punched it out of his hand.
Yeah, but Byron Maxwell, I mean, B-Max has always, yeah, but B-Max has always been a guy to go after the football, so shout out to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's only one thing I would throw on top of that, and I think Ryle's points are all pretty good and succinct. But when you get to the 1 yard line and you got Ezekiel Elliott, hey, run the ball, Dallas. I'm just gonna point that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Just you know, give it to him at least one time. You know, don't stop play action passing because that one time they didn't give it to him. I think they rolled out and they got a holding call which put them back, and then they had to kick a field goal and they missed the field goal. And it's like, what are you doing? Give you.
Yeah.
He's been the offense.
Yeah, he missed two field goals. That's another point I didn't mention. Yeah. Dan Bailey missed two field goals in that game, too.
He's not right because he came back from that back injury, I think, too soon. But you can't be on the 1 yard line and have Ezekiel Elliott. Sometimes you have to be able to run the ball when the other team knows you want to run the ball. You're on the 1 yard line, they know you want to give it to Zeke. You know you should give it to Zeke. It's first down. Give the damn ball to Zeke. I mean, I'm just saying, do that. You got to at least try. You got that offensive line. You got him. I disagree with that call. Sometimes you can outsmart yourself.
Gotcha. Now, call. Tell me your name real quick. You're calling from Florida, right? So you're a Dolphin fan, right? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. So you got a quick minute here to kind of tell us, you know, anything you want to talk about on the show, any your thoughts, and what kind of elaborate on that as well, sir.
Yeah. Tell us what your heart is with the Dolphins right now. Heading in the right direction or the wrong direction?
Right direction, ready for next season, and all the off-season things we'll do. I'm ready for that.
So, do you want Cutler back?
He's already. I love it.
You want Cutler back, or are you ready for Tannehill?
Ready for Tannehill.
Or somebody else.
I was going to say, our door number one, that you could be, you know, an inflatable puppy. Or it could be Josh Rosen. You never know. Like, you know, a little deal or no deal humor for y'all. But are you really, you know, Tannehill was making strides, I think. So are you ready to see what Tannehill can do in another year with Gase? Or are you like, nah, give me the hot stud coming out because I'm not sold on Tannehill?
This is a deep quarterback draft, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been sold on Tannehill, you know. Unfortunately, he went down. So rehab in the offseason, get better, get stronger, and ready for Tannehill for next season.
Now, let me guess. You live in Florida, but you're from New York, right?
No.
No? Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I heard a New York accent there.
Well, like I said, we'll definitely give you a lot of love, too, as far as that with the Dolphins, man, you know, because I know this is not the same thing that's kind of happening with the Cowboys, that you guys had some injuries, and unfortunately, you know, there's some challenges with the offense and, you know, making some trades here. So Tannehill is definitely the you know, the answer right there. You know, hopefully he can make come back and kind of lead the team like, you know, like a younger quarterback like Carson Wentz too. So nothing but the best. You have anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
Now, what is it going to take for the Dolphins to surpass the Patriots in that division?
It
seems like the Patriots have that division on lockdown for 16 years now.
Wow. Yeah, I think we figured it out. We split the matchup this year. We just need to back and we need to limit the mistakes when we play them.
I like Kenyon Drake, though. I think they got one. I like Kenyon Drake. I think you got one. If you can keep that.
Yeah.
I mean, quite like they're talented on offense. They're talented. If you can re-sign Landry, you got Drake.
Mm-hmm.
If Tannehill can progress on that path, you got Sue on that line. You got some pieces. So I was going to say the Dolphins have some pieces. I like Gase's offensive mind. If they can keep, you know, on that curve on with the defense, then you might have some down there in Miami again.
Yeah, there's quite a few of us on this show. Even before the Tannehill injury, we thought they could be in as a wild card. Obviously, you know, our opinions changed when Tannehill went out with that injury. But there was a few of us that really thought they had a chance to be a wild card team this season.
We did, but then we jumped off the boat when they signed Cutler. I'm just gonna be honest with you.
Cutler was
especially
the,
Andre.
Was the
but I think we all did.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks for giving us a call, man. Always give us a shout out, man. We appreciate you calling in from Florida. We'd love to hear your thoughts. I know we'll talk more about you know the college side as well, man. And like I said, we got a lot of topics to get to, but we appreciate you calling in. Okay.
All right, man.
Stay in touch with us. Appreciate the call.
Yeah,
call in whenever you feel like.
All the time. Alrighty. Thank you. A lot of love, man. I'm feeling this has been
love
a good show, guys. We got 13 minutes here to get through a couple of topics, too. And I definitely, you know, we do want to talk about a couple of things, Rob. I do want to get to the fantasy shout-outs, and I know we'll definitely talk about the bowl games, and we'll kind of skip some topics here. So if you don't mind, we're going to quickly talk about the Rams. As far as that team in the NFC, just the butt whooping they've been putting on some teams. And I will not be remiss, guys. I was in the Bay Area, and, you know, just a great win by the 49ers. I know you guys may not think about that, but just to put a totally unexpected defense, the Jacksonville just didn't expect that, too. And the area, it's kind of buzzing, man. You know, Jimmy G, I mean, it's that guy right there, everyone's thinking he's the next savior, bro. They're calling him. Freaking, I know it's crazy. The Montana comparison's like, oh, man, we got a good quarterback again. So they are pretty stoked. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying it's just like the excitement is there because they finally got the quarterback too. But let's talk about the Rams here because this could be a
they
very,
put up a lot of
very
points on that Jacksonville
division.
Defense.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
Sure did.
That was, you know, I know the defense had some challenges too, but the way that and you got to give John Lynch a lot of credit, guys. He spent a lot of time and just kind of the way he's interacted with the players and how he's kind of got that feel as far as chemistry and just he's been in the trenches, guys. So having a guy in the trenches that just fully understands that he's young, he's kind of just kind of fresh and hip for the game, man. It's kind of a surprise that they've done this well. They've got a lot of cap space, and, you know, they get a wide receiver guy, the big-time wide receiver, you know, get up some more, you know, get that running back. I'm going to call the size of the guy, but get, like, another fast running back, another tight end.
Hey.
This squad is good. You know, I'm just telling you. I'm not talking about Hyde. I'm just saying just get another, like, speedy running back, kind of like a, you know, like the Devontae Freeman, kind of like Tevin Coleman rule. That's kind of what they want. Yeah, this team is it's definitely a very exciting time in San Fran, too. So, anyway, I know I've won a lot, but I know we're talking
about
you're
trying
about
to butter off to them people, man. I know we got a lot of listeners.
I'm not trying to butter up. I'm trying to say I was there, bro. I mean, I'm trying to literally give you some insight as far as being on the side of the West Coast. So, again, there's a lot of things happening, and I figured I would share that knowledge because, again, if you're not in the city, you have no clue what's happening. But, you know, even watching the game, my guy was like, yeah, I don't know. I remember, literally, guys, I was going to start him. I didn't start Jimmy Garoppolo because he was like, oh, you should start him against the Jacksonville defense. And I was like, I think he's going to do well, man, because – and then it's just one of those things, and I didn't start him. So – and he went off. And
you can't.
It was a surprise, man. You're like, what? So, anyway, that's my two cents, being on the side, Bay Area. But, yeah, guys, talk about that if you want to. And also, if you want to talk about the Rams, are they the best team right now in the NFC? So, keep it going, guys.
Right. Well, I think the thing about Jimmy Garoppolo is that he's got a good offensive mind as a head coach, too,
sorry, JT,
which is really going to help him going forward.
So
I would totally agree. They put a few pieces around him with the offensive coach that they have there. they could be a dangerous offensive team. Obviously, we'll have to see what they can put together defensively. But a few more pieces offensively with the head coach that they have there. I think that was just a little teaspoon of what can be the future for the 49ers. Obviously, it takes more than one game. And so we'll have to see if they can continue that. And I'm sure they're still going to have a high draft pick to see if they can put some offensive pieces around Garoppolo going forward. So it'll be interesting. You're right. Obviously, the Rams are a hot team out there. They got a young offensive nucleus. Seattle seems to be fading back a little bit here. So we'll see. We'll see if the 49ers can get in the mix.
Okay, so I'm going to actually answer the question. Yeah, Jimmy looks great, but you can't start him against Jacksonville. And we talked about Blake Bortles and those three interceptions. That's why I said, yeah, with my life on the line, I'm not going with Blake Bortles because he's going to have a Blake Bortles game, and he did.
I said that.
So I'm just going to kind of put these next two these next two together because I think when you talk about that NFC,
JQ, what happened? Did we lose it?
Offense. They're giving up too many points for my liking to win the Super Bowl. If I'm going to be, I'm going to go off the radar. The Rams. I don't. They have the best offense, but I don't think they have the best team there in the NFC. I'm going to go with Minnesota. Case Keenum is still, thinking he's back in Houston, and that defense is playing good enough to get them going in the playoffs. I like Philadelphia. I think they have a good defense, but they take a step back because they don't have Carson Wentz, and that's what I was going to tie that into the next piece. Carson Wentz, he's making it seem like he should still be in that conversation. But if I'm being honest with myself. To me, it's Tom Brady and it's Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley single-handedly has won people the fantasy football championships across the country, across the world, with these last two games, if you really want to think about what he has done. And those numbers translate into that MVP race. And I think he's called up more than Tom Brady than people would like to give him credit for. Carson Wentz has shown how valuable he is. But you could say that same thing about Deshaun Watson and how they've fallen off a cliff, having to go to a Savage and a T.J. Yates. But you still can't make Deshaun Watson, the MVP. I would use that, even though Philadelphia is a better team, I would use that same kind of thing for them. To me, for the MVP, it's Brady and it's Gurley. And in terms of best team in the NFC, Philadelphia's taking a step back because of losing Wentz. I think that Rams defense is taking a step back. They made Mariota look really, really good, which if you want to be honest, Mariota has not been good this year. I'm going to go with Minnesota as the best team in the NFC. Yeah, it's very average.
And I would agree with that. I think Minnesota's had a full season to play with their backup quarterback in Case Keenum. And, you know, the team is really used to playing with him right now. He's really played really well in that position, and their defense has been phenomenal. Other than the game against the Carolina Panthers, that might be the only game where I think they scored or somebody was able to score 30 points or more against them this season. And I think from the body of work here, for me, which is scary because the Super Bowl is in Minnesota too, but they look like the best team in the NFC. But I will say these NFC playoffs are going to be really interesting. And I think when you look at the AFC, we know it's going to come down between Pittsburgh and New England. I think in the NFC, I tell you, I think all six teams that make it will have a shot. I think all six teams that make it will have a legitimate shot at getting to the Super Bowl, whereas I think the AFC, we're really just talking about the Patriots and the Steelers. They have really legitimate shots of getting there. But if I had to put my money on someone right now, I would definitely say the Vikings. As much as I would hate to say that, I would definitely say that they are the team to beat. Now, as far as Carson Wentz, I can't put him in the MVP conversation. I still think he got to be on the team a full season. I know the impact that he's had on the Eagles team. You can see that they're not the same team, even though they're 2-0 without him. But you can see, I just think once they get into that playoffs, it's going to be a problem. I know they have home field advantage. It's going to be tough to go into Philadelphia and win. But I think it's going to be hard for them to advance to the Super Bowl with Nick Foles at the quarterback position. And then when you look at Philadelphia's schedule this season, their schedule hasn't been that strong. I mean, obviously, they went on the road and got a nice win over the Rams. and the Rams have looked flat-out explosive since that loss. We will say that. But obviously Philadelphia went to Seattle and lost. They didn't look too good in that game. It's just hard for me to say that Philadelphia will advance. And obviously, if Carson Wentz was still there, I think they would still have a legitimate chance. But to me, you still have to play the full season to be a contender for the MVP.
So America looks like Robert Ford is calling Philadelphia the Alabama of the NFL. So that's what that sounds like. The strength of schedule right there too. So just throwing that out there. So anyway. Oh, man. No, I agree with you both, man, as far as Minnesota is definitely right now looks the strongest. But it really depends on the fellas which team does get hot because, like I said, I can see, you know, a Rams team just kind of like they don't know any better. They're kind of doing their thing. You know, they're young, but they're just doing their thing. Like you talked about JQ and Todd Gurley in golf. Very explosive offense.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a great matchup to see, you know, the Rams and the Vikings. That would be fantastic to see, you know. But, again, you know, we'll have to see how that plays out. But anyway, we'll keep it going here. We got about 4 minutes, guys. Rob, if you can get to the fantasy shout-outs, and then we'll talk about OT and all that fun stuff, sir.
All right, fantasy shout-outs here. We had four of our leagues. No number one seeds won a championship in all four leagues. There was somebody else that won the championship, which is interesting.
Crazy.
Which hurts me because I was the number one seed in two leagues and didn't win either one of them. So that really hurt.
Yeah.
But anyway, league number one, the biggest win of the week, KC from Atlanta, Lions King over Andre's King, straight cash homie, 171.26 to 106.06. And JQ's team, Ohio Players, won the championship over Gentilly Hot Sausage, 126.14 to 95.26. Congrats, JQ, on that championship. So what?
Yeah, Corey's hilarious.
I said shout out to Corey for keeping it funny.
Shout out to Corey. Yep.
Yeah.
Corey and I went to high school together, believe it or not. all right, league number two. Biggest win of the week. Aaron from Hartford, Connecticut. His team, the Pellies, over ATL Black Belt, 96.70 to 54.52. And Willie from El Paso, Texas, won the championship. Congratulations, Willie. EP Diablos 186.26 to 152.08 over Fleur de Lis. All right, league number three, Matthew from Indianapolis. His team, Unger's Crew, had the biggest win of the week over Al's Coalholics, 115.46 to 93.32. And Ricardo from Austin won the championship. Pelican Fly beat JQ's team, Ohio Players, 122.10 to 105.72. And last but not least, league number four, Andre's team. Congratulations, Andre. Won the championship. 156.94 to 108.92 over my team, the Purple Knights. Andre won a championship with a 5-9 record.
Oh, bro. God,
man, that hurts.
Girl, they went off, man. That was nuts.
Yeah.
All right.
I said it.
And now the fantasy basketball shout-outs. Blue Devil All-Stars. We had three teams with 7-1 wins. Blue Devil All-Stars over Madhouse on Madison. Blue Devil All-Stars is Sean from Atlanta. And let's see, Ronald's team, Saints Pelicans 23 from New Orleans with a 7-1 win over Naptown Unibrows. And Chester, also from New Orleans, his team, Pastor Rock, had a 7-1 victory over the Champions here. And Ronald's team is in first place. Saints Pelicans 23, 57, 21, and 2. And those are the shout-outs of the week. And shout outs for the obviously fantasy football is over. Make sure y'all join us again for next season, people on the fantasy football.
Yes, sir. We got a caller.
Absolutely.
We got about 50 seconds, Rob. Wrap this up in 40 seconds. You got to do real fast, bro.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on the air again next Wednesday night. Next Wednesday night will be 11 p.m. Eastern Time, it'll be 9 p.m. Mountain Time for our friends in El Paso, for JQ's. And Andre's friends in the Bay Area, it's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So you don't want to miss it. and also JQ's friends in San Diego as well. It'll be 8 p.m. San Diego time on Wednesday night on next week. So don't forget, we got a lot going on. We'll get you ready for the NFL playoffs and get you ready for the college football championship. Good night, people.
Yep. Happy New Year, good people. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later.
Happy New Year. Grab my caller here. Caller,
Happy New
what's
Year.
Up? How you doing? Welcome to Talking Sports with 12th Man. How you doing? Tell us your name and where you're from.
What's going on, fellas? It's Corey, man. I just had to shout y'all out, too, bro.
What's up, Corey?
Hey, Corey.
I was just, telling everybody we went to high school together.
Yeah, Purple Knights, man. So
Purple Knights, baby.
What's up, Ford?
Hey, what's going on, Corey, man? It's JQ.
I love
you gave me a hell of a run in that game, man.
Bro.
I appreciate you.
That was a good game, dog.
It.
I mean, my team kind of gave up on the dog. I tried to get brand new balls, kid. But you got me, girl. You got me.
Hey, that was a good game.
Man.
I watched that.
I went with Davis from Seattle. I thought he was going to do something. I thought McKinnon was going to do something for me, man. Like a bunch of goose eggs.
Hey, Seattle hold, man. Russell Wilson, dog. He messed me up, too, man, in fantasy, man. 92 yards passing. Damn.
Yeah, that's awful.
Did a thing on them. They were talking about is this the end of the Legion of Boom? Is it over? And you know, I think it is.
I think the end of the Legion of Boom as we know it is over. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Listen, when Earl Thomas goes to Jason Garrett and says, "Come
level.
Get me," come on.
You can't play at that level forever. Injuries, players getting older.
Right.
Know?
And your free safety is going to the other coach saying, "Yeah, if you got a chance to come get me, come get me." Yeah, that's the end. Like, if you feel like y'all got years left together, you will never say that out loud where the cameras can see it. Like, he didn't even care. Like, he just rolled up on Jason Garrett, like, come get me, bro. I'm from Texas. I want to play for Dallas. Let's make it happen. I was sitting there like, come on, Earl Thomas. You can't do that, man. So I'm with you. I think the Legion of Boom is done.
I mean, I can't believe Philly. I can't believe the Rams. You know, I mean, those are two teams. I just, you look at that record. I only saw maybe like three Philly games this year, maybe like three for the Rams, like when they played the Saints, bust the Saints. But I mean, I just, I can't believe those squads. Minnesota, I'm not totally surprised at Minnesota, but I didn't think that Keenum was going to push them this far, not nine straight wins and get this far. You know, I'm a Saints fan at heart. I want to see my boys go. I think we could pull the NFC.
Oh, of course we do.
I think we can, but we got to stay healthy. I think it's going to go down to who's the healthiest. Because even the Rams.
Well, I think there's
like
one thing the Saints have going in their advantage going into the playoffs. We're going to be the only team, unless Seattle sneaks into the playoffs, we're going to be the only team with a quarterback that's won a Super Bowl. And so, you know, you have somebody with that kind of experience, you definitely can't rule them out. Obviously, it's going to take three wins to get to the Super Bowl without having that bye week. So that's going to be tough, but you know, but we'll see.
I mean,
Case Keenum and Nick Foles. You know, we still have to see what they're going to do in the playoffs. But
and
Minnesota's
got
their defense, and their defense will travel.
Nick Foles, my Buckeyes. You got Lila Moore and you got Michael Thomas. I'm just saying, don't hate on them. You got my Buckeyes on those teams balling out for y'all, balling out.
Ted Ginn Jr. too. Von Bell.
I think it's two quarters.
Hey, yeah. Von Bell. Hey, listen, hey. I'm a claim them Buckeyes every chance I get.
I feel you. The Buckeyes are real deal. Holyfield.
They balled out for y'all.
I'm tripping on the fact that the Saints might see the Falcons again. And like
we might see the Falcons or the Panthers in the first round of playoffs. So we may be having a divisional matchup in the first round.
Yep. That is crazy, guys. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And the interesting thing here, I don't know if you guys heard, the Rams are going to sit Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, and Aaron Donald in this matchup against 49ers this weekend. Right now the Rams have the 3 seed, and if the Saints hold serve and win the division, the Saints – or sitting at number 4 right now, but if the Saints win and the Rams lose, the Saints will move to the 3 seed and the Rams will move to 4 with the Rams now playing those 3 players. So I guess the Rams are deciding it doesn't matter to them whether they're the 3 or the 4 seed, because that's really the only thing at stake for them this week.
big difference between playing Minnesota and playing Carolina. That's huge.
That's true. That's true, though. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? If you're going to pick your poison, I don't know. I'd rather go against Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. Actually, it'll be the difference of them playing Carolina or them playing Atlanta or Seattle. Because if you're the if the Saints win and the Rams lose, then the Rams are going to be playing Carolina in the first round. And if the Saints win, then they'll be playing either the Falcons or Seattle in the first round. If the Rams lose and the Saints win, then like I say, the Saints will be playing either the Seahawks or the Falcons in the first round.
I don't ever remember a season that all NFC South teams finished playing divisional games. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, they've been doing that the past couple of years to make the divisions more worthwhile. The past 3 years, they made all divisional games across the NFL. But I was going to say, Dre, if Corey, if you can stay, can we do the NFL predictions and have Corey stay and do the predictions with
us? Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead. Start it off, Rob. Go ahead and do that first prediction here, if you will. Yeah, go ahead, sir. You're good.
What's the first matchup?
Dallas at Philly.
Dallas at Philly. Yep, go ahead.
Well, you know, I actually think Dallas is going to go on the road and win this game, and I tell you why. Philly's already clinched the number one seed, and they're going to sit out a lot of guys in this game. This game is not really that important to them, and Dallas is, they're out of the playoffs already, have nothing to lose. I think they go on the road and win this game by 7 points. I'm going to say 27-20 Dallas.
I agree.
You think Zeke's going to play?
Yeah,
they're not going to playoffs. I mean, this is their last game the next year.
He better freaking play.
Mm.
Yeah, 6 games off. Yeah, you playing, bro.
I love it. You better earn your check, bro.
You have 6 games off? Yeah, you playing.
Corey, and this is interesting too, man. I think this is definitely the last hurrah for Dez Bryant with the Cowboys, bro. That's what I feel too as well, man. So
He's already said he's not taking a pay cut to come back. So I wait
for the whole season on fantasy with Dez Bryant. Overrated, man. I don't see how you keep making that mistake. That boy is not Antonio Brown. It's not the same thing.
No, not even close. Mm-hmm. Antonio Brown.
They play him. They put him on there like, oh yeah, he's the Brown dude. He's not. He can fight and fuss and run to the coaches and cry and moan and complain. They throw him one pass, boy, knock it out your arms.
You get the ball sucker punched out of his hands.
Oh, come on, man.
Maybe he just needs to go to a different environment and, you know, kind of focus in. Maybe, you know, getting cut will help him or whatever he's going to do. He has some talent, but, you know, like you said, but just overrated like we talked about. So he kind of gets his focus, man, anyway. Somebody's going to take a chance on Dez Bryant because he's got too much talent.
Absolutely.
But he's got to go to work, man, for sure. Our game,
but
guys.
Been looking like
Yeah, go ahead, Gar. Go ahead.
My bad, boy.
No, you keep going, bro. You can finish your thought. Go ahead, man. What's all up?
You know, this like a couple years there, like when Shady McCoy went to Buffalo, I could think of a couple more players at the peak of their game, and they got traded. They got moved to another squad. You know what I mean? LeSean McCoy was the number one rusher in the NFL that year. And they moved him over to Buffalo. He just wasn't the same. Same for DeMarco Murray. He got pushed to Tennessee. It's just these players, you know, you got these highlight years. You put them in another position and you don't hear about them no more. They don't never get back to being what they were. That year they were on top. I don't know if it was injuries. I don't know if it was just, you know, getting adjusted to a new squad, a new playbook, or whatever it was, but DeMarco Murray just was a waste of time this year. I picked him up in a different league just because of the name. Just because, DeMarco Murray, there's a chance he could still give you 1,000 yards, but nowhere near.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just nowhere near. I think Dez Bryant will do the same thing. They're going to put him somewhere, and he's going to fade out.
He's fade out. Wow, interesting. I mean, there's been some opportunities where some folks have actually done some good things too, but like you said, it is interesting whether it's a system fit, whether they get excited because they've performed well. I mean, DeMarco Murray looks fantastic behind that Cowboys offensive line.
Right.
And, again, whenever he goes, he actually looked pretty good with Philly, which is interesting. And then, you know, they made the trade to Tennessee, and he kind of faded away too. And, you know, Shady, I'm kind of torn about Shady because I think it was tough with having a quarterback, or excuse me, having a coach, and Chip Kelly didn't know what he was doing, just didn't like folks. He was, like, trading talent for nothing. So he still has got a name. But, again, I don't think he fits that total system in Buffalo. You know, again, if you put him in, like, a different offense, you know, even like a Saints offense, he would be crazy good. So it depends on the offense that you put that type of talent in. So, again, I don't know if they're using him correctly in Buffalo. That's what I would say. But, you know, to each his own.
Yeah,
sure,
I agree.
You know? Yeah. We're having fun, guys. Let's talk about this game. This is another game we're excited about. Me and JQ, you'll see us, man. We're going to have some fun. I'm glad they switched it to 4 o'clock. I was nervous about that 8 o'clock start because
– Make sure you monitor the number of drinks JQ has.
JQ, we both have fun, man. So
the over-under is at 5.
Over-under is at
5. Carolina at Atlanta. Is the matchup. I'm going to let JQ start this one because, again, Rob, and I know you guys are both Saints fans. There are some tough calls that I felt. But, again, you know, stupid plays and some
I've been
some
dealing with that
and things
for
like
the
that.
Past few days, man.
Yeah. So, again, I mean, much respect. But, again, it's one of those crazy situations, too. So, yeah, you know, go ahead, JQ.
Oh, man, this is going to be tough only because Carolina still has aspirations of winning the division. So I think they still have something to come out and play for. But that being said, when you know in the back of your mind, when things get a little tough and it gets a little tight, and maybe Atlanta gets some home cooking, I'm not sure it's going to happen, but if it does, that human nature, you resort back to, you know what, it don't matter, we're still in the playoffs. So do you still fight as hard if you're Carolina when you know you already have at least the 5-seed punch? You know what I mean? Atlanta, this is do or die. You can't depend on Arizona to beat Seattle and you backdoor your way into that 6th spot. That's the reason why I give Atlanta a 4-point victory over it. I know Cam calls a play when he's coming back home to play in Atlanta, but I just don't feel like that underlying hunger is still there. They're not fighting for the number one overall seed in the NFC where you can get home field advantage. They know at the end of the day that they are probably just going to be the 5th seed going on the road, but they're in the playoffs. So do they have that same hunger and fight? And does Rivera say if Atlanta gets up by like 10 points in the second half and he don't like the way some things has happened and Cam has got hit a couple of times and he don't say, you know what, I'm not going to sacrifice next week for this, you know, sacrifice next week on this week and trying to prove a point here in Atlanta when I know we're going to the playoffs anyway. So that level of hunger and desperation, if it don't give you an edge if you're Atlanta, I don't know what else to tell you. I'm going to take Atlanta off of that point solely. If for two teams that are about evenly matched, I think that happens.
100%. Mm-hmm. I think because Cam may say Cam. Corey, stay tuned. You're going to give your points after Rob. Go ahead, Rob, really quickly. Go ahead, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go Atlanta in this one as well, 31-28. And I think that's very, you know, good points that JQ made as well. Of course, Atlanta is at home in this one, and they, you know, can't rely on Arizona beating Seattle to secure a playoff spot. And so, obviously, Atlanta needs this win to officially secure the playoff spot. And I think if you're Carolina here, one of the things, are you going to be eavesdropping on the Saints in Tampa Bay? Obviously, as a Saints fan, you know, Tampa Bay has been really competitive here the last couple of weeks, so this is not a game that the Saints can take lightly either on the road down there in Tampa. But if the Saints are able to pull away in this game, does Carolina's eavesdrop on that game then take their foot off the gas pedal in the game against Atlanta? And so, that's even though they're playing at the same time, and so I think that's the thing that's going to play into this game as well. But I still think it's going to be a competitive game. I'm going to say Atlanta 31-28 over Carolina.
Big number. 31-28.
What you got, Corey?
I'm disagreeing with JQ and Mr. Ford. I'm putting all of y'all in the backseat because I think Atlanta has been found out. Sark and Ryan just not on the same page. The defense is just falling to pieces. They're getting tired.
Uh-oh.
Winded third quarters. It's just too much going on with Atlanta. I watched Matt Ryan go from a 116 rating to a 91 rating. I mean, it's just they got found out, man. They got discovered. They, you know, teams were, they had good momentum from last year. They just fell to pieces, bro. They just fell to pieces. They played dirty pool anyway.
They played dirty pool.
They're a dirty team. The cut blocks, the ref calls, they Freeman with the face mask, Freeman with the foot. A lot of people didn't pay attention to that. He grabbed the man's foot, lifted it up, and tripped the man. Man turned around, got right in his face instantly. And he got a personal foul. He deserved both of those personal fouls. The Sanu's pick, he deserved that foul. You know, but there was a couple. The offside call, he could have. There's a millisecond difference. I think I could have let that go. Anyway, I think they got figured out. I don't think Carolina is coming to play. I think they've already lost games in this Mercedes-Benz Dome, billion-dollar dome that they're pushing to get ticket sales for and book events for. I think Carolina going to come to town and open up that can and going to serve them up right. I mean, Cam is itching, and he loves the showboat. This is the perfect opportunity for him to shut them down. You don't want to put Cam Newton in that position. I can see him rushing for two touchdowns.
I can see him trying to do too much and throwing three interceptions.
Yeah,
I can see him doing too much.
That's true, too.
Oh, man.
But it's not going to be a
Cam Newton coming back home,
I think
you're
going to see 50 points on the board.
I tell you what, Carolina and Saints better win to win the division if Carolina wins.
Well, yeah. I think Rob's point is right, though. I think Rob's point is probably the best one. At the same time, but in this day and age, you're monitoring everything. If y'all get out on Tampa and they're like, damn, well, we can't do no better than the fifth seed, human nature takes over, and you're like, can you overcome that and still go on the ball line and say you wanted to, embarrass Atlanta? You're going to go into it thinking that, but if you get to the point and you're looking up and you know they're going to have a score up there.
Oh, yeah,
and
they're going to be thinking that.
17-3 New Orleans in the third quarter. Is Carolina going to still have that same hunger? Like, damn, we locked into the five seed. And will the coaches allow them to have that same hunger? Because if you're Ron Rivera and you look up and everybody knows the 17-3 and Cam gets hit and you may win, you may lose, but then his next week is in doubt. What did they say about Ron Rivera at that point? Like, man, you knew you was going to be in the 15 anyway. Why would you give Cam? Why are you still running the read option with Cam and McCaffrey? Like, why are you doing that? And coaches get gun-shy about those kind of things. They won't have to answer those questions. So it's a lot of moving parts to that. I think Atlanta's got a lot to show and prove because they laid an egg in New Orleans. But I said last week I thought they were going to lay an egg in New Orleans.
They laid eggs the past couple weeks with Julio Jones. They laid eggs.
Yeah.
Freeman came back, thank God. And that's the only thing they really had to push him. Sanu was just, look for me. They can't find him. But, I mean, that was your two biggest weapons with Matt Ryan. And they got figured out. They got figured out. The more physical you play Julio, the more chance he's going to be on the sideline whippery. He's fragile. He's been found to become be fragile.
Oh, my gosh.
Ankles, knees. He's got something going on with him every week. Every week,
that's true.
He still plays,
that game
though.
When they
he
played
plays,
Tampa
though.
Bay, he put up over 200 yards. He was killed after that game. He was dead. He was completely dead. Yeah. The next week, you saw it. He didn't do much of nothing against the Saints. And Lattimore played him like a piano. I loved it. And you're gonna see it again because Carolina coming for Julio Jones. You're not gonna see Julio Jones with these 200 yard games. He did it against one team this year and. He did it when they were at their worst. There was really
Corey,
no
you got to call in next week.
Corey,
you
got to
call in next week.
We're going to go back at this. I know, like I said.
Corey, you
got to
call in next week, too.
I'm not on the Falcons leadership. I'm just not. I can tell you not
because, definitely you and Robert, go. But I'll give you a couple points about, definitely that the offense. Even as a Falcon fan, I don't know which team I'm going to get. Last year, I would confidently say, we can handle any team. Now, I don't know which team we're going to get. So I'm with you. Matt Ryan has definitely, now granted, Kyle Shanahan drew up some concepts that made Julio look fantastic, that made Tyler Gabriel look fantastic. Now we're like, I don't really know what team we're going to get. So fair enough to that
point. You think
Sarkisian
ain't coming back next year?
No.
He's not even calling his offense, so it's almost not fair if you think about that. He's calling an offense that wasn't made. And I think this is my – I've talked to, JQ and Robert, so they can be talking about it. I think that
You know, Matt Ryan needs somebody that can call, that needs a narcissistic person to see things above himself, because there are certain plays that I saw San Francisco run, we have not run in Atlanta, because maybe Matt Ryan's like, I don't want to run that play or whatever. You need somebody to say, you're going to run this play because I'm the offensive coordinator, you know. So, again, Steve doesn't have the type of pull to be, like, talking against Matt Ryan. So, again, that's
what
I'm
drinking
with
that
as
the
well.
Wildcat too. Trick play they had, that Wildcat yep. trick play, hike the Sanu. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. come on, man. This ain't college ball. You mean you might get me one time? You're not going to get
yeah.
me twice. You're not going to fool nobody
well, again,
with that.
Well,
more
again,
than once.
Again. It's one, it was good.
No,
call.
The Falcons
I mean,
are actually undefeated this year, or Matt Ryan is throwing the 3 INTs in a game.
I'm going to say
Sarkisian a bottle of Crown Apple right before the game.
That's
you know, Jake, you should do that, bro. Yeah, bro, you make it.
I'm sending him some Crown Apple and some cranberry juice. And say, I need you to take 2 shots of this and get back right. I'm telling you, Sarkisian has not been the same offensive coordinator since he stopped drinking. That's a true statement. I'm sorry for him and his personal battle with life in terms of being a good human being, but in terms of being an offensive coordinator, when he was drunk before the game and slapping holes and acting the fool, he was calling a good game. That dude is living a Christian lifestyle, and he sucks calling the games. That's just the truth.
Keep it straight and narrow.
I'm sorry.
Straight and narrow.
That's where it is. You got to get back on the edge, you know. Get some lines going or something.
Gosh.
Do something, Sark.
Oh, my wow.
I do think that the Super Bowl win is coming in the NFC this year.
I agree.
I think the Super Bowl ring, the Lombardi Trophy, will be in the NFC this year. I do believe that.
I get it. I agree with that.
All right.
You know, I don't know who top four, but, you know, we'll see.
Are you staying on court for the last part of these predictions, or are you jumping off, bro? Your call. You can
do
whatever you
want. That's right, dog.
All right, here we go. So we got like 20 minutes here. We're going to knock these out really quickly. We're going to talk about these college bowls. I know we talked to Lou and everyone. They wanted to hear us. So we're going to fire through these and just you don't have to elaborate too much because we got to fit a lot of games in here. So I'm going to fire it off. We got 3 of you guys, so we got to be a little quick here. First matchup here, we got Thursday tomorrow. We got Virginia at Navy. I'm going to start off with Rob, JQ, Corey. That's how we're going to do it. So just keep you guys knowing first, second, third. Keep it going. So kick it off, Rob.
I'm going to go with Virginia in the mild upset here. They played at Georgia Tech a few weeks ago on a triple option. They were able to beat them. So I'm going to say Virginia wins this one too. They've at least played against a team with that triple option this year.
Yeah, but that triple option takes a lot of toll on your body. And those chop blocks that Corey was talking about, you're getting some more of them. I know they were sitting there like, fuck, we got to do this again? Maybe.
I'm going to say Virginia. I like the way they played against Tech. I'm going to go with them to get it.
Wow. All right. Speaking of Virginia, we got both of Virginia Techs here. Virginia Tech at Oklahoma State. This was a good game. Kick it off again.
I'm going to go with Oklahoma State. I'm going to go with that with Mason Rudolph and James Washington and Justice Hill. That Oklahoma State offense just has just way too much firepower. And real quiet like that, Virginia Tech defense didn't really play well in the month of November. I'm going to go with Oklahoma State, prove a point for the Big 12.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to Oklahoma State in this one, too. I think it's going to be a real close game, though. I'm going to say something like 31-28. Bud Foster's Virginia Tech, I think, with a lot of time to prepare, but I still think Mason Rudolph has a really good game. This is one of the better non-playoff bowl games, a pair of 9-1 teams here.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yep.
Yeah. I say Oklahoma State, too. They got the momentum. I think they could push through.
Nice.
Yep.
Next matchup, we've got Stanford. This is prediction at TCU. Another pretty good matchup here. What say you, Rob?
I'm going to go with TCU. They're playing the game in Texas. I think they'll have more fans at the game. I know Bryce Love leads 27 yards for Stanford to reach 2,000 for the season, which is incredible. I think Kenny Hill, of course, he's had an up-and-down season, but I like TCU. They're closer to home. I think they win by a touchdown, 31-24.
Yeah. I was going to say Kenny Hill, and the fact that you get Gary Patterson a month, I think Gary Patterson is one of the best defensive minds that we have in the country in college football. You give him a month to prepare. I like that TCU team to stack that box against Bryce Love and make it real hard on Stanford to move the ball. I like TCU.
Stanford at TCU. I'm going to go with the first in the pack. Let's go with Stanford.
Nice. Okay. I love Corey. Corey brings some different stuff. I love it. I should call it the name of these bowls here. The San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl. We've got number 18 Washington State, number 15. I know. Okay, Michigan State. Go ahead, Rob. I sounded like Slick. Go ahead.
I tell you, this is a intriguing matchup too, of contrasting styles between Mark D'Antonio and Mike Leach. Obviously, the Cougars want to air it out with Luke Falk. But I think the Spartans and their style of play wins out in this game in a mild upset. I'm going to say Michigan State slows them down a little bit, and I'm going to say 28-27, a close game.
Yeah, I never bet on Luke Falk and Mike Leach in the big game. They're good. Mike Leach is gold for press conferences. I love Mike Leach's press conferences. He's hilarious. Talking about Pirates and all that craziness. He's gold at press conferences. But when it comes to big games, him and Luke Falk, I will not bet on. I'm going to bet on D'Antonio, and I'm going to Michigan State in the close game.
Sounds like me and Bob Stoops. Go ahead, Corey.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I like Michigan State. I like the Spartans. I would say I would pick Michigan State. I mean, I can't really. That's not a team that I really follow all the way, but just come in second. You know, let's just go with Michigan State.
I'm with you. There you go.
Well, let's say defense wins championships. They've got a really top, you know, rated defense as far as pass-wise, too, and that's exactly what Oklahoma State wants to do. Excuse me, I apologize. So, initially, what you're looking at this is strength versus strength. So, you got to think who has a better opportunity. I don't know if it's a slight upset, Rob, but I think definitely Michigan State's going to be ready. So, that's their strength. So, anyway.
Yep. All right, let's move on to Wake Forest at Texas A&M. This is a great matchup too, guys. Go ahead, Rob.
I'm going to go with Texas A&M because of the talent, and I think when there's a talent disparity in the big games like this with time to prepare, I think it's going to be closer. So obviously, would Jimbo Fisher have an impact on this game or not? I'm not sure. But I'm going to go with Texas A&M. 31-28. Obviously, well, I like the Wake Forest quarterback, though, John Wolford. 25 touchdowns, 6 INTs. He's been efficient this year. But I'm going to go with Texas A&M talent over Wake Forest's talent.
They playing Wake Forest in North Carolina. I'm playing Wake Forest and that defense and that quarterback in North Carolina. I'm going to take Wake Forest.
The Belk Bowl in Charlotte.
I say Wake Forest because of a couple reasons, mainly because of the 64 they put up against Syracuse. I just like that squad. They came out this year pretty good. They played some games they won some games I didn't think they would win. North Carolina State, Syracuse, even Louisville. I mean, I wanted Georgia Tech to beat them. I'm a Tech fan, but yeah, I'm gonna go with Wake Forest.
My man, Corey. Andre.
Meet him. I said, Corey, that's surprising that Corey's a Tech fan. We'll talk later, bro. That's awesome. I'm meeting myself. NC State at Arizona State. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with NC State and Bradley Chubb in this game. I think he's going to disrupt whatever Arizona State game plan is for this matchup. Obviously, Herm Edwards might be on hand for Arizona State. Better days may be ahead for the Sun Devils, but they won't win this game. I think NC State wins by 10.
I can't believe
that. Man, if you're hanging your hat on Herm Edwards, then that's a loss already. I can't go Arizona State. I'm definitely going Bradley Chubb and NC State. Yeah, Herb, whatever.
Bradley Chubb, not taking the draft.
To win the games, I'm going with Bradley Chubb. He just is disruptive. That Arizona State team has nothing for Bradley Chubb and NC State.
That's true. That's true. Herb Edwards. I love it. Go ahead, Corey.
I'm saying Sun Devils, brother. I got some friends that really stand behind Sun Devils.
All right.
I think they're
thinking the Sun Devils over NC State in El Paso.
You better call it next week. You better call it next week, bro. So we're gonna keep trying.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk it out.
Pick it with his heart. I love it. Kentucky at Northwestern. No, that's all good. That's how I pick, man. I'm like, I'm over the map. I get it. Go ahead. It was Rob, JQ, then Corey is the order to make it a little easier for you guys. So Kentucky at Northwestern.
The Battle of the Wildcats, Northwestern versus Kentucky, Music City Bowl in Nashville. Ooh. Obviously, Northwestern led by Justin Jackson. They're looking for 10 wins. I'm going to go to mild upset here. I think Kentucky, a little bit more talent here. I'm going to go 27-24 Kentucky in SEC country.
SEC,
yeah,
right.
Hell no. Kentucky only does one thing, and that's play basketball well. I'm going to go with Northwestern in that defense.
In
a close game, I'm going with Northwestern.
JQ, I love it.
I'm going to go with the second in the B-10 West. You got to go with Northwestern.
There you go.
West.
Wow. This is going to be really interesting. Okay.
Does Northwestern do anything well? We'll find out.
They got good journalists.
New Mexico State at Utah State, Rob.
Oh, God.
Does anybody care? I'm just going to say Utah State. Touchdown victory over this one. Over New Mexico State and Arizona Bowl.
It's on the CBS Network. go ahead.
I'm going to go with the Fighting Bob Davies in New Mexico State.
That's funny.
New Mexico State, first time in a bowl game since 1960.
That's crazy.
Damn.
But they do have Larry Rose III has over close to 4,500 career rushing yards, but I still think Utah State wins.
Nice. Corey, that's funny.
I think you called it, Rob. I mean, this was a good year for kind of – you know, the underdog. So let's go with the team that ain't made it since, what, 1950, you said? What?
1966. There it is. I love it. All right, we're going to let JQ go first, Rob. Excuse me, because, you know, something is really big that's about to happen here. USC versus Ohio State.
Oh, we know who you're picking.
Yeah, you know I'm picking. I mean, I'll top.
Why even get his pick?
You know, but honestly, I think this is going to be a tough game for Ohio State because they're young in the secondary and they got to go get Sam Darnold. But the great equalizer is that defensive line. You get Bosa and you get Hubbard coming off the edges that can kind of neutralize that a little bit. If I can get just a mediocre JT Barrett to show up in that game, Ohio State can win that game by 7 points. It's not going to be a blowout, I don't think, either way. But I'm going to go with my Buckeyes by 7.
That's a surprise. Go ahead, Rob.
I think this is going to be really good. This is probably the best bowl game outside of the playoffs, in my opinion. And I think this is going to be kind of like last year's Rose Bowl between USC and Penn State. You're talking about a heck of a football game. I think this could be the same kind of game between these two teams. I don't think they're going to put up the kind of points those teams put up last year. But I think JT Barrett and Sam Darnold both put on a show in this matchup of classic rivals. I'm going to go Ohio State 31-27 in a close ball game, competitive game.
Yeah.
Finish your start.
Come on, Debbie. Come on, Debbie Downer. I know what you're going to say.
I'm going to go with USC.
Right.
Corey, is Corey still on? What happened to Corey? Corey, you still with me? Hold on. I don't hear Corey. Let me check and see. He dropped by accident. Let's see. Corey, are you still here with us? Okay. You guys are still hearing me, right?
Yes, we still hear you.
Corey, I don't know what happened. He's doing something else. Okay. You still with us, bro? You want to pick this or you want to check
back
in with us?
I'm still with you. Okay.
It's all good. Who you picking? USC,
Ohio State.
Ohio State, baby. Got to go with them.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Go.
I love it.
Gotta go with Ohio State.
They wanted more. They needed more. They're going for it. I want them
all.
All
right. There it is. I love it. All right. Big matchup here. Not another big matchup. I apologize. I just like saying Tax Slayer Bowl, honestly, fellas. All right. Louisville at number 23, Mississippi State. Go ahead, Rob.
This could be Lamar Jackson's last college football game. This gives him a last chance to put on a show. Obviously, you got Nick Fitzgerald, Mississippi State losing the head coach, Dan Mullen, here. I got to go Louisville in this game. I think it might even be a two-touchdown victory for Louisville here. Obviously, like I said, Mississippi State, no Dan Mullen. Don't know what the coaching situation is going to be like. Lamar Jackson, I think he puts on a show in his final college football game.
Yep. Agree for all the same points.
Corey? That's Corey disposed.
Sacramento Kings beat the Cavs tonight.
Hold them down.
Stop it.
All right, let's look at well, I don't know what happened to Corey here. Let's go Ohio State at Memphis. The Liberty Bowl, Rob.
Iowa State at Memphis.
Iowa State, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I would slip my wrist and jump out the window if we in the I was on Liberty Bowl.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you know what I meant with that.
I know.
This is me, like, I'm starting to fade, man. I'm starting to fade because I'm starting to get my little – sorry about that. Go ahead.
I think this is going to be a high-scoring football game. I think both teams put up a lot of points in this one. But I'm going to go Iowa State in a 44-41 win over Memphis.
And I'm going to take the same probably score the opposite way. I'm going to take Memphis in that offense.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, Memphis, Riley Ferguson at quarterback. It's definitely. Mm-hmm. I definitely think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Great game. The PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, we got number 11 Washington at number 9 Penn State. Great game. Go ahead, Jake Kelly. You start with this one.
Oh, man. I'm going with Saquon Barkley in Penn State. I think Jake Brown and Washington, they're a really good team. It really is going to come down to Trace McSorley. He's so hot and cold, but I think he comes out hot. Like Rob mentioned last year, that Penn State-USC game, I think this is going to be a really interesting, entertaining game that's kind of fallen off the radar a little bit. But I'm going to go with Penn State. Again, Saquon Barkley, I think, puts on the show in his probably his last game in college.
Great. Wisconsin at number 10 Miami, Rob.
Washington and Penn State, I think that's one of the better bowl games, too, outside of the playoffs. But I think Saquon Barkley puts on the show in this football game. And it's going to be really close. I'm going 38-35 Penn State over Washington in the Fiesta Bowl. Wisconsin-Miami, I'm going to go with Miami in a mild upset here. I'm going to go 24-21. Wisconsin seems to struggle against teams that have speed on their roster. They're going against the other Corn Fair teams like Michigan and Iowa and those programs. They seem to play well. When they go against the teams like the Ohio States and the Miamis and the SEC teams, they seem, in my opinion, they seem to struggle. Obviously, Wisconsin's got a dominant offensive line. Miami's got a dominant defensive line. So something's got to give in this particular matchup. And I'm going to go Miami in a mild upset. The game is in Miami in the Orange Bowl, too, so I think that helps them as well. Turnover chain, Orange Bowl, 24-21 Miami.
I was going to say, that you took my point. They are playing in Miami at night, basically in their home field. Turnover chain in full effect going Miami.
Easily.
Yep.
All right. The big day. Let's fire this off real quickly because I'm fading. I apologize. That's why I'm having some challenges here. Michigan or South Carolina. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I'm going to pick JQ's favorite school here, the Michigan Wolverines. This is a rematch of the 2013 Outback Bowl. I'm going to go with the Wolverines here by a touchdown over South Carolina.
You know good well I'm picking South Carolina. For no other reason, they play in Michigan, South Carolina.
Hey, you don't stick with the Big Ten Conference?
No, I do not. I do not. Not when it comes to Michigan. No, I do not. I hope they lose every game they ever play and line up to play. Well, not really. But
well,
you know,
I can't argue with you, JQ. I'm the same way. When it comes to Alabama and Georgia, I don't root for the SEC.
Right. Yeah, no. All South Carolina all day.
If Akron Zips are playing Michigan, you're going to go with the Akron Zips. Huh? Doesn't matter, huh?
Go with Ohio.
Yes, sir. Already. Let's go Zips.
Right. Well, I was picking some random school. It actually be a school in Ohio. But anyway, that's pretty funny. All right. That's a good call, Jake. Oh, man. That was a great special, too. All right. Let's see. UCF, University of Central Florida here at Auburn. This is a good matchup, too. I think Auburn should win this. But tell us your thoughts on this, though, JQ.
Well, I'm going to tell you like this. I thought that UCF could sneak up on Auburn, but then UCF's running back starts talking stuff about, oh, they in for a rude awakening.
They ain't seen speed yet.
They ain't seen speed yet. When I read that quote, I said, yeah, it's over for UCF. But you can go ahead and stamp that. That's going to be Auburn by like 14 to 20.
Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
Yeah, I get it. For the same reason JQ's just said, obviously UCF, Scott Frost is coaching this game before he heads off to Nebraska. So that should help a little bit. But I think Auburn, if they're healthy, and Kerryon Johnson is healthy, I think Auburn wins this game by two touchdowns, 42 to 28. I think it's competitive early. Auburn pulls away in the fourth quarter.
What did he say? Mm-hmm. They've been UC. What did they say? What did they say, JQ?
He said Auburn hasn't seen speed. The SEC doesn't have speed like what UCF has.
He said they were in for a rude awakening. When I read that full quote, he said SEC, they have not seen speed like this. They are in for a rude awakening. That is his quote. When I read that, I said, goodbye, UCF. You might have snuck up on them, but it's over now.
Not anymore.
Okay. That's what I want to make sure I heard the quote correctly. If that's what I heard. That's what I thought of something crazy like that, JQ. So I'm glad you clarified that. I was like, what did he say? Okay, I got you. Let's see here. Notre Dame at LSU. Rob, what's happening, bro? What's going to happen, bro?
Well, I tell you what, this is a game I've been going back and forth on. Obviously, LSU is not going to have Arden Key and a couple other defenders in this game. But the more I think about it here, I think Josh Adams and Darius Geis, I think they both are going to have big games for their respective teams. And it's going to come down to which quarterback can make plays when it matters. But I'm going to go with LSU and their overall talent, 28-25 in a close game over Notre Dame. Both teams
too
trying to get 10
speed.
Wins.
Too much speed for Notre Dame. I agree. I think LSU wins.
Let's wrap it up. Georgia at Oklahoma, fellas. JQ.
Hey, listen. You know I can't stand Baker Mayfield, but that dude is a stud. I give him all that. But that Georgia defense is phenomenal. I'm going to go with Georgia based off the strength of that defense. I think they make Oklahoma one-dimensional. And I think they just have the ability to rush the passer and make Baker Mayfield uncomfortable. And then you get Chubb and Sony Michel going and the freshman as well. I'm just forgetting his name, but he's ridiculous as well, number seven. I'm going to go with Georgia in a very tight game.
Swift. They got three studs at running back. Chubb, Sony Michel, and Swift.
Yep, they did.
And Swift. I'm going to go with Georgia in a 7-point game. I think Georgia wins.
I tell you what, these two semifinals matchups, I've been struggling with predictions. I think I probably changed my mind about 35 times on both of these matchups. You know, when I look at this Georgia-Oklahoma matchup, from the Georgia standpoint, if they can control the football, and Oklahoma has struggled stopping the run this season. And that's a strength for Georgia. On the other hand, mm-hmm. if Oklahoma can get out to a nice lead with their passing game, Georgia struggles playing from behind, and they don't have that type of offense that can come back from behind either. So I think it's going to come down to which team could get their style of play off first in this matchup here. Obviously, contrasting styles, Baker Mayfield against the impressive rushing attack of Chubb, Sony Michel, and Swift. But I'm going to say Oklahoma has just enough to win this game. I'm going to say 31-28. But I totally would not be surprised if Georgia, like I said, I've changed my mind about 35 times on these matchups here in the semifinals when you really think about the matchups here. But I think both teams' strength is the other team's weakness on defense. But I'm going to go overall. I'm just going to say Baker Mayfield comes through in the clutch and wins this game by field goal.
We already know what's happening with the Sugar Bowl, Clemson at Alabama. We know that JQ is all in on Clemson, thinking that they're going to win the championship too. So, again, I would
no,
be
I don't.
That JQ. What? Very soft. Go ahead. Oh, what happened?
No. Well, here's the thing, and I'm with Rob. I'm going back and forth. And here's my thing. When everybody's saying, oh, my goodness, Clemson with Kelly Bryant and the running back, Etienne, I think his last name is, and he's a stud. And you talk about Wilkins and Lawrence and Farrell on the defensive line. for Clemson. And everybody's saying, yeah, you know, Clemson's going to win. Clemson's going to win. How – oh, disrespecting Clemson, which I think they are, by having them be an underdog to Alabama as the one seed. That's just ridiculous. But I go to – you got Nick Saban sitting there listening and reading and taking all this in and spinning that back to his team and then saying, can I really lose to Dabo Swinney 2 years in a row? Like, that Alabama team is going to be focused. And I just feel like, you know, when you start getting all those indicators one way against a coach who has 5 national championships and still has a good team, but he hasn't had the teams on paper that make him seem like his team was good, I'm going with Alabama, man. I think Alabama wins. You know, they get 2 out of 3 in the trilogy. I'm going with Alabama, and I know that all the indicators and all the things that we have to look at it says Clemson should win this game. I just feel like that Alabama defense getting healthy with the coach they have. I feel like they make one more play than Clemson is able to. I mean, you got to remember Clemson still gave up a lot to Syracuse, and of course they're going to be ready for Alabama. I'm going to go Alabama.
That's an interesting switch. I thought JQ was all in at Clemson. I apologize. Wow, good call.
Nope.
Rob?
I tell you what, I agree with JQ as much as it hurts. I mean, you guys know I don't like Alabama. I'll be rooting for Clemson like heck in this game. But I'm picking Alabama to win it. You give Nick Saban a month. They won't be completely healthy on defense, but they will be healthier than they were at the end of the regular season when the defense wasn't performing up to Alabama standards. So they'll be a lot better in this game. Obviously, Clemson's defensive line is ferocious. And it's going to be tough for Alabama to run a football on that defensive front for Clemson. It's going to come down to the quarterback play in this
Jalen
game.
Hurts.
It's going to come down to Jalen Hurts or Kelly Bryant. I think both teams will struggle running the football in this game. It's going to come down to those two guys and who can make the bigger plays throwing the football. And I think that's going to be the difference in this football game. I think Alabama wins. I think 20-17. In a really close football game, low-scoring game, I think Alabama moves on, as much as it hurts to say that. I'll be rooting against Alabama and Georgia. But I totally would not be surprised if both of my predictions are wrong in these two semifinals.
Right.
So I'm picking Oklahoma and Alabama. But I would not be surprised if we see Clemson and Georgia. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Alabama and Georgia, all SEC championship game. And,
I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah. So
we'll see.
I don't want either one of them to be in it, to be honest. I don't want to see Alabama or Georgia.
Wow. Now you know
I'm
why
rooting for Clemson Oklahoma matchup.
Yeah. Well, and Dabo Swinney was talking about Urban Meyer being over the hill to help get the number one recruit out of Ohio to go to Clemson. So, of course, that doesn't sit well with me for rooting for Clemson. I wish that game could end in a 0-0 tie, but I know that can't happen. So I still come back to it, that just to Rob's point. Nick Saban with a month and hearing how everybody is already, you know, put the dirt on the grave of them and how they're just expecting Clemson to roll over them. When I hear that about the same way I would hear that about that if you talked about that with Bill Belichick and the Patriots. That if you picked another team just to roll them and you gave them a month to prepare, I'd be like, really? Are we just going to give it to the other team like that and just disregard that they have that guy coaching that team and he has all this past history of success and getting his teams ready to play? It's hard for me to do that. So, again, that's why I go with Saban Alabama.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Gentlemen, it's been fun.
And like I said, I don't think they were deserving to be in the playoffs, but they're there, and they're going to be a tough out.
It is. Wrap it up, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we appreciate all of you all for tuning in. We appreciate the calls coming in tonight from all different parts of the country. So we appreciate that. Continue to tune in. We'll be back on the air next Wednesday night. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern time. For our friends in the Big Easy, that's going to be 10 p.m. For our friends in El Paso, that's going to be 9 p.m. For our friends in the Bay Area, that's going to be 8 p.m. on Wednesday night on next week. Like I said, we'll recap the college football playoff, get you ready for the national championship game, and get you ready for wild card weekend in the NFL. So you don't want to miss next week's show. We got a lot going on in the sports world. Happy New Year's. Make it do what it do. Let's have a prosperous 2018.
Absolutely. Can't say any better than that. Yeah, I appreciate you guys for listening in, and I love the callers calling in. Please keep calling in. You're bringing insight to the show. We talk about things that may not be on the topic list, but other people might want to hear.
Yes.
Appreciate you all that input as well. Happy New Year. Love you two guys. See you in 2018, and see you on Sunday, Dre.
Yes, sir. We'll talk soon, guys. It's going to be
That's
fun.
That's right, call us. Whatever
so
sports
love.
Topic you want to talk about, you can call and talk about it.
Yes, sir.
See you guys. Same time next week. I think she's going to cut us off, so that's why I'm wrapping this up, guys. Anyway, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Corey. We'll holla. Peace.
Yes, sir, Corey.
Good
appreciate
night,
you.
Yep.
Holla.